Well, let's turn back to Colossians, and once more in our series on Colossians, we come to chapter 2. In this series on Colossians on Sunday mornings, we are finding that the spotlight is turned fully onto the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that it's his name that is up in lights, and we've seen that all other people on the screen dissolve, and he zooms out from the center of the screen. He takes pride of place. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And Jesus Christ is greater than you can ever imagine. This morning we're going to look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2. And in these verses, we see that the Apostle Paul is concluding some things that he's said before and introducing some things that he's going to be saying. Let's read verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here Paul is urging the Colossians to do something vitally important: to continue to live their lives with Jesus at the center. The first two words of verse 6, so then, shows that Paul is summing up all that he said before. We sometimes use words like this when we've having a long meeting and there's a lot of contributions and planning and discussion, and then the chairperson usually says, well, so then, what do we do next? Having said all of that and all that discussion, so then, what's next? And that's what Paul is doing here in this verse. In one sense, all that he's said up to chapter 2, verse 6, is a kind of introduction to all that he's going to say in the rest of the book. You see, Paul had been laying a foundation in those first few verses of chapter 2 and all the verses of chapter 1. And what he really wants to say to them is in the rest of this epistle. See, all the New Testament documents are what we call situational or occasional documents. In other words, there was an occasion that made Paul or the other writers write them. Something was going on, and the writers had to address what was going on. They had to address the situation. Well, there in Colossae, that little church had been formed, and they were going on well with the Lord. And then you've got this group of false teachers. We don't know how many of them there were, but these false teachers kind of invaded the church and spread their false teaching throughout the church and were really unsettling the believers in Colossae. Now, we're not fully sure what these false teachers were saying. We're going to have a little guess and a little look next week when we look from verse 8 onwards. But it is quite hard to be really precise as to what they were saying. But at the basis of what they were saying is this: Jesus is not sufficient. They had a really low view of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they came along to the church there in Colossae and were saying that you can find your freedom and your fullness and your purpose and your life elsewhere added to Christ. Very clever. They weren't saying that you can do without Christ, but they were saying you need something more. You need more beings and more ways and more rituals than Christ. In other words, you need to supplement Christ. Well, Paul is outraged, and he writes this letter to say Christ is all in all. In everything, he has the supremacy. He is Lord of all. And Paul is outraged at these false teachers. You sometimes might get, maybe not outraged, but a little bit cross when you think you've bought something, and then when you take it to the till, you find out you need extra things. We were looking for a car radio, because our car radio battery went flat, and every time it starts up now, it's secure code. And the amount of combinations you could get for four letters for secure code. So basically, we've given up trying, so we thought, okay, well, we could get the code unlocked, but it might be cheaper, actually, to go and get a new radio. So I was in Halfords a while ago and looked at radios, half price, £50. Great, you can put your iPod in there, anything in there. I'm going to get one of those, £50. So the sales guy comes over, says, I want one of those radios. Okay, he says, over to the till we go. You need a fascia to go with that. Okay, why? Because the new radio is smaller than the radio you've got now. Oh, okay. And when we take the old radio out, you might need some leads to go in the back to fix it up because the old radio leads won't work. Oh, okay. And then you might need a lead in order to fix it to the antennae and the aerial because the old radio had it built into it. And then you might need some more leads to plug it into the speakers at the back. Forget it! By this time, it had quadrupled in price. And I was a little bit cross because all it just said there on the radio, it was just like £50. By the time, well, I didn't get it. So you often get things which are said you need it in order to supplement what you've got. It's far easier just to get a transistor radio and have it in the car with you just as you go along. It's all you need. And Christ is all they need. All in Christ, as we'll see Paul saying again and again in this epistle. But the false teachers are saying, no, fullness and freedom and purpose and meaning and life is found elsewhere. So Paul writes to these Colossians and says, stick with Christ. So throughout chapter 1, he's addressed the Colossians in the first 22 verses, and he said to them that you've come to faith in Christ. And then he's told them about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 15 onwards, and he says that he's preeminent in everything. Then as we saw last week from verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says that his frontline gospel ministry is about proclaiming him, proclaiming Christ. So by the time you get to chapter 2, verse 6, so then the Apostle Paul has built up this picture. They know by now that it's about Jesus. And Paul is so Christ-centered in his writing from beginning to end. In everything, Jesus must have the supremacy. And Paul says, it's about him. You've received him as Lord. So continue with him. And that's really our two simple points this morning. All that he says in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2 can be based around those things. Receiving Christ and continuing in Christ. So let's think about that then. So then, verse 6, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. You've received Christ Jesus as Lord. Receiving something. When you receive something from someone, you're actually making a connection with that person. We are offered many things throughout life, and some of them you reject, and there's no connection then with that person. But when you receive something someone has given you, you're kind of allowing them into your life just a little bit or maybe a big bit. And you're getting into their lives a little bit as well. Receiving is not passive. You actually take what is offered to you. And Paul says you've received Christ Jesus as Lord. God sent his Son into the world to save the world. And the Apostle John says in John chapter 1, verse 11, that he came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. But he goes on to say in John chapter 1, verse 12, that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So God has sent his Son. Some won't receive him. Some will receive him. And these Colossians, Paul says, have received him. I wonder if you've done that. Received Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, it's not just the direction of our life which changes through repentance. We turn our back on all before and turn our faces to Christ. But as someone once put it, conversion is not just a change of direction in life. It's a change of connection in life. There's a new connection that's made. So somebody is linked in to Jesus Christ. Somebody receives him into their hearts, into their minds, into the center of their being. And it's important to receive Christ in the right way. So Paul says to the Colossians, you have received Christ as Lord. Receiving is one part of the conversion experience. But we are to receive Christ not just as another religious teacher, and not just as a really good and nice man, but as Lord. Lord. In that first century, this title Lord was used in at least three senses. It was used, first of all, as a kind of term of respect. So an inferior person might say to a superior person, Lord, meaning sir, as simple as that. What's more, it's used in a second way of the world ruler, Caesar. Caesar is Lord, my Lord Caesar. When it was used in that way, the title was kind of elevated, not just to a sir, polite, but as someone who was the emperor of the whole world then known, Caesar. A third way that this title is used was by the Jews as a substitute for Yahweh, because they wouldn't say the sacred name Yahweh, hence they would substitute a name, and in their Old Testament, well, they wouldn't call it Old Testament, but the translation into Greek would be this, Lord. So it's a substitute for the word Yahweh, the sovereign covenant God. Now, each time we've mentioned one of these three usages, then it's kind of taken a step up. Sir, Emperor, Sovereign God. And the Apostle Paul is using the title here, not just as a polite respect to Jesus, and not just and only, though he is, the world emperor, but as the Sovereign God. You have received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, there is no modern equivalent to this title, Lord. Dave and Matt and I, in our meeting this week, we tried to come up with different kinds of equivalents to this title, Lord, and we couldn't come up with one. So we thought about Prime Minister, President, King, Master, MD, CEO, but none of them really do it, because those people only have authority over you in a certain part of your life, and usually in public, and no control over your thoughts or attitude. But saying Jesus is Lord doesn't mean just to say that he's Lord in public space, but in our private lives. Not just when we're at school or in the workplace, but everything. He is Lord over all. So to say that Jesus is Lord is to put him in the highest place and position that you can put anyone, anywhere, anytime. Jesus once came to his disciples after his resurrection and said to them in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's the Lord of all. If you cast your eyes down to verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2, come on to this next week, but you'll see what Paul means by this Lord. Chapter 2, verse 10, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of over every power and authority. Every power and authority. Name a power. Jesus is Lord over that power. Name an authority. Jesus is Lord over that authority. He is Lord over all things. He has the highest possible ranking ever. He is Lord over all local governments, over national governments. He is Lord over international bodies of NATO, UN, and the EU. He is Lord over the Prime Minister, David Cameron, and he is Lord over General Sir David Richards, head of the British Armed Forces. He is Lord over Jonathan Evans, who's Director General of MI5, and anyone else you might think of who has a position of power and authority, sometimes great power and great authority in their own domain. Jesus is Lord over that person and that situation. Anyone, he is over. He is the creator, we are the created. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is the master, we are the servants. He is God. And you can't trump that. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is far greater than you can ever imagine. And yes, we say that he died upon the cross for us to forgive us our sins, and he did. Gloriously so. But he's off the cross. He's out of the tomb. He is reigning on high. And one day he is coming back. And he has this tattoo on him. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who Jesus is. And that's who the Colossians received. Not just as someone who can help them throughout life. Get through a little social situation. But someone who will rule them and protect them. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. This is a massive thing with so many implications. And I wonder, do you recognize that in your life? Have you come to that place where you have received Jesus as Lord? Now, this word receive is written in such a way, in such a tense, as to say that it's happened in the past, and it's happened once. It's happened. It's something God doesn't believe for you. You've got to believe. And when you come to believe, you believe in Jesus, not just as a nice human being, not just being part of the community that you feel at home in. That doesn't save you. You are saved when you receive. A time in your life comes when you acknowledge Jesus is my Lord. And I am handing over the controls of my life to him. I am submitting to him. I'm receiving him as Savior from my sin and as Lord of my life. I give him the keys to my life. He is Lord. Have you come to that point where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord? You know, it's the earliest Christian creed and it's the earliest definition of salvation. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you might have been coming along here for a few weeks now, a few months, even a few years. And you're happy here, and we're happy for you. But not if you haven't received Jesus as Lord. But that's what we're about. That's really what we want you to do. To come to that point where you acknowledge you're not your boss, Jesus is. And you give him your life and all. If you haven't done that before today, do it today. So the Colossians had. They received Jesus as Lord. Now once they've received Jesus as Lord, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, well then you can start living. So look what he says in verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. For receiving Jesus as Lord is just the beginning of the Christian life. You've received him, and the word continue is like the ongoing thing. It's the present time. It's what happens all the time. You can look at the Christian life in many ways. Consider it with a kind of analogy to biology, just for a while. So there's birth and there's life. And that's the Christian life. There's time when you're born again. But then you begin to be an infant in Christ, and then you mature in Christ. You go on in Christ. So the Christian life is a progressive kind of life. You have a start, a new birth, and then you live as a child of God. And we're always looking out for growth in our children, always looking out for their development and the next stage. And it's crazy because the stages go so quickly. And before you know it, they're gone, they're grown up. But you're always looking for the firsts in your baby's life. And you're recording it on your phone or on a camera or in a baby book. And you share it on a social network of some kind and tell other people about it, all exciting. First tooth came through. Or then you're sitting up by themselves. Or then crawling. And then toddling. And then it's the real discipline that begins. And then you're sharing with someone else and they say, well, you know, my baby was doing that 3 months ago. And you're thinking, my baby's the same age as theirs. And you get worried. You think, something wrong with my baby? They're not sitting up by themselves yet. And a little bit of rivalry can creep in sometimes in these groups, you know. Oh, my baby slept through the night ages ago. Yeah. My girls were scoring penalties when they were 6 months.
Let's hope England can score penalties tonight. Anyway.
We're always looking out for some kind of development, the next stage. And Paul is with Christian people. And we are amongst each other, aren't we? So to be born again, wonderful. But it's the start of something so big. It's the start of a discovery of a person who is greater than you will ever realize. So the Apostle Paul says here, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, then continue to live in him. So we live in Jesus in the same way that we received Jesus. We receive Jesus as Lord. That means to say we live with Jesus as Lord. You don't go on to something else about Jesus. He's always Lord. He's not Lord, and then you find out he's another kind of character and another kind of being. He is Lord from first to last. So salvation consists in receiving Jesus as Lord, and the Christian life consists in living with Jesus as Lord. We don't progress on to someone else. It's not that we say, right, Jesus, and then we supplement him as the false teachers were doing. We grow in our lives with Jesus as Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul, as we sort of bring this to a bit of a conclusion, the Apostle Paul emphasizes four characteristics of what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. The first characteristic of living as Jesus is Lord is in verse 7, rooted in him. The second, built up in him. The third, strengthened in the faith. And the fourth, overflowing with thankfulness. Just briefly, consider those four things, because it's what the Christian life is about. Living with Jesus as Lord, living under the Lordship of Christ, rooted in him, first of all, rooted. Now, when something is rooted in something else, it means it's attached to them. So a plant's roots are attached to the earth. A person's roots are attached to a place, or their family, or their history, or their culture. Their roots are somewhere. And Paul says that a Christian's roots are in Christ. In other words, this new connection has been made. We are attached to Christ. We are branches. He is the vine. And we only grow as we are attached to Christ. If we attach ourselves to something else or someone else more than Christ, we won't grow. We are rooted in Christ. And a key to living with Jesus as Lord is making those roots go deeper and stronger. The second thing is this: rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, built up in him. You know, it's exciting to see something being built up. So if you've got some Duplo or some Lego, then the competition is to see how many bricks you can put on one on top of the other before the whole tower falls. And it's a delight to the child. But sooner or later, the kind of dad takes over, a bit protective about my tower. No one in the room breathe. No one come in. This tower is going to go higher than ever before. And it becomes a kind of protective thing. My tower. You see it going up. You ever had a loft conversion or a conservatory or a house extension? It's being built around you, and when the builders have gone, you sneak in. You just go in and look what they've done today. You think they haven't done anything today, but they've been up there for ages. And then you're thinking, when's it going to be finished? When's it going to be complete? To see a building going up, there's a little bit of boyish adult excitement about that. And when you watch a Christian grow, being built up, it's absolutely thrilling. When you see someone whose behavior changes because they're a Christian, when you see someone who's building on the foundation that's been laid in Christ, and they're beginning to put into practice the things that they believe, and there's lifestyle changes, there's authority issue changes, there's attitude changes, there's all kinds of changes, that is absolutely thrilling. The Bible calls it maturity. How long does maturity take? Lifetime. So this is part of what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. We're attached to him deeply in our roots. We're being built up in him, in our faith in him. And we're growing in him, becoming mature in him. The third thing it means is this: being strengthened in the faith, verse 7, strengthened in the faith. Now, this word for strengthened, you might have in your Bible translation the word established. established. And the idea, I'm told through a commentator, is of a receipt that's given that makes your purchase secure. It's established. You bought it, it's established. It's secure. And we like things that are secure. And you look for receipts. You make a purchase and you want the receipt. And the receipt means that you can take it back and you can change it, or you can join that very long queue at M&S exchange counter and you can exchange it because you've got the receipt. The receipt is all important. Your purchase is not established without the receipt. And the idea here is of security, strength, secure, established. And growing in the Lord Jesus Christ means you become more and more of a secure person. Many people battle with insecurity. And the marks of an insecure person are heightened self-consciousness, a sense of apartness from everyone else, an inability to join in with people, sometimes physical shame, sometimes self-loathing, prejudice towards others not like them, the need for approval from others, and a fear of what people think about you all the time. But in Christ, you are secure. It's what He thinks about you that matters. It's what He is doing in your life that matters. And you find all your significance and all your security in Christ. And once you are established in Him, living with Him as your Lord, Him protecting you and protecting your soul, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's protecting you. And once you are submitting to Him regularly, then you will find such security in Christ. And you will begin to think, well, actually, it doesn't really matter what other people think about me. And you might live with a bully of a husband, or a bully of a wife, a bully of a parent, or you might live in a situation where you're always being bullied. Or you might be at school and there's the in gang at school and you can't be part of it for some reason. And they're saying things about you. Or it might be in the office, there's a clique there and you can't quite break into it or join it. And they're saying things about you and you begin to feel a little bit insecure about it. You know what? If you're in Christ, then you could say in a holy sanctified way, I don't give a Balaam's ass what you think about me. Sorry, it's probably out of keeping, but it doesn't matter. Now, of course, if we're going around being offensive to people and being bad and naughty, then it does matter what people think about us. But ultimately, Christ gives you your significance and Christ gives you your security. And if you're the only Christian in the home and there's other people around, your parents or your husband or even your children, that are giving you a hard time for being a Christian, where's your security? It's in Christ. You're established in Christ. And you can survive in that family because you've got Christ. What more want I? So here's three things so far about living under the Lordship of Christ. You're rooted in Him. You're being built up in Him. You're established in Him. All that you are is because of Him. And the fourth and final thing is this. Verse 7, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. This is a real mark of a person who is submitted to the Lordship of Christ. They are overflowing with thankfulness. Now, Paul mentions thankfulness six times in Colossians. We've seen it already in chapter 1, verse 12. We see it here in chapter 2, verse 7. We'll see it four more times in this epistle. And you can ask a question. Why is Paul writing about thankfulness to this church so much? Could be two reasons. It could be one that this Colossian church was a particularly grumpy church, and Paul was saying to them, be thankful. Or it could be completely the opposite. It could be that they were such a joyful, thankful church that the Apostle Paul is simply pointing out a characteristic of their life, their church life. He says, you are thankful. And that's the way I take it. And Paul is simply identifying the fact that they are overflowing with thankfulness, because that's what happens. When you know that Jesus is Lord and your Lord, then that does something in your heart that makes you rejoice. And you overflow with gratitude and thanksgiving. And these Colossians had been so thankful since they had become Christians. They'd never been as thankful before, and Christ has saved them. And Paul is simply remarking on a prevailing characteristic of their life, overflowing with thankfulness. That is one way that you can tell whether or not Jesus is your Lord. How thankful are you? If you're not thankful, you will not grow spiritually, because you'll always be self-contained, always thinking about yourself, what you're not getting, what you're missing. You'll always be grumbling and moaning. But when Christ is your Lord, you've got everything. Everything. You are going to be so thankful. And that is counter to the culture in British society. So what have we seen here this morning then? Well, we have seen that Jesus is Lord. That's who he is. And we've seen that you become a Christian by receiving Jesus as Lord, handing your life over to him. And that you live as a Christian with him as Lord, rooted, built up, secure, and so thankful. But so what? What difference? What does that really matter to me? Well, when you live with Jesus as the emperor of your life, the Lord of your being, then you will find he's the most important thing ever, and you will have the greatest pleasure you can ever have in Christ. But it also means the thing that we started with, that you will find that Jesus is far greater than you can ever imagine. I'm reading a C.S. Lewis book at the moment. I've got this trilogy of his books, which are a bit like science fiction books. And the first one is called Out of the Silent Planet. It's a great book. And there's this guy there called Ransom, Dr. Ransom, who somehow is taken captive in a spaceship. And he's hurtled off to a planet in outer space. And his emotions in that spaceship as he's going to outer space, he's got the idea from those that have captured him that they're going to land on another planet. And he is so afraid. And he's thinking all bad things about this other planet. It's going to be dark. It's going to be lifeless. It's going to be dull. And I'm going to die up there. And there's going to be nothing to look up there. And if there is life up there, they're going to be monsters that are going to eat me. He's got all these fears about going to this other planet. When he gets there, it's far greater than he ever imagined. There's life there. That's just science fiction. There's life there. And they take care of him there. And there's beauty there. And there's landscapes he's never seen on Earth. And there are colors which are absolutely fabulous. And his breath is taken away by this new planet that he's landed on. It is far greater than he ever imagined. Do you know that it might sound as a threat to say, receive Jesus as your Lord, let him take over your life? You might be thinking, that sounds dangerous. And he might shut down things in my life that I enjoy now. I'll tell you what, he is far greater than you can ever imagine. And he will open up areas in your life that you never dreamt of now. And he will give you spiritual delights that you cannot even think about now. Receiving Jesus as Lord and living with Jesus as Lord is the best kind of life ever. Listen to what one man wrote in conclusion. Seek Christ, embrace Christ, know Christ, and you have touched him who is life. And in him resides all truth, values, virtues, and gifts in living color. Beauty has its meaning in the beauty of Christ, in whom is found all that makes us lovely and lovable. Don't fear the worst. Jesus Christ is greater than you can ever imagine, and he's all sufficient. Let's sing these two songs to sum up what we've been talking about.